With Election Day in less than 2 months, what is on the line is not a simple difference of policies, it is the fate of our nation. Judicial activists at all levels have put roadblocks in the way of justice. The 34-time convicted felon will not see a prison cell before Election Day. MAGA activists at state and local levels are working to disenfranchise voters, and foreign governments are paying conservative bloggers to spread their propaganda. On Liberal Dane Radio, we cut through the lies, unwind the spin, and give facts to counter their fiction. Will you do what needs to be done to make sure our nation isn't taken over by an autocratic despot? Or will you sit back and watch as our nation falls to ruin? The clock is ticking. Act now, before it's too late. Conversation. It's area code 914-803-4131. It's area code 914-803-4131. Let's see. There we go. We're live. I didn't look like I was live on Twitch. It said I was not connected, but apparently we are still. So there we go. If you are calling in to the show, make sure to put your first name and your area code in the YouTube chat at liberaldaneradio.com or at twitch.tv/liberaldaneradio, simply because we don't monitor the Blog Talk Radio chat. And since Blog Talk Radio is actually working today, you know, it happens. And Erin continued her subscription, so shazam! Thank you, Erin, for continuing to support the show in all the ways that you do. You and Jolie, the i.e. the mod squad, are awesome and appreciate you daily. And we have a whole bunch of people in chat already. We got Dakota, Dave, Alarasia, CR, Roxanne, Fancy, Tony. Let's see what's up. What else we got? Witchy Woman, Jeff, Josh. I'm sure more people will coming in. As we go along. So to support the show, remember to like the chat, like the video, subscribe to the channel, follow the Twitch channel if you have Twitch, do all the non-monetary things that helps the algorithms grow. Al Gore needs lots of rhythm, and you can help him do that by liking videos, sharing. I should make like an animated thing, like the more people that have activity on this, on it, the more Al Gore dances. Do like an AI Al Gore. or something like that. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. You know, so that was, you know, liking videos, sharing videos. I anticipate several videos to be up after this show because I'm going to be recording during the show and, you know, just so I could spit those videos out, upload them to YouTube and have them go live without having to do much more work on top of that. So when you hear me say, if you like, you know, if you like this video below, you know, like, subscribe, whatever, and have a nice day. It sounds like I'm ending a video. I'm just ending that part for anybody who might be new to me doing that. What's up, Nick? What's up, Steve? P-Dubs is here. Good. Yeah, wonder if Al Gore is on Cameo. That he might be. I have to check. Problem is with that if you purchase somebody. If you purchase a Cameo on somebody, you're only getting a license to use it for personal use. So therefore, I would have to get like a business use license to be able to use a Cameo from him. So we'll see. You know, that would be funny though. Get Al Gore to say, "Hey, I need more rhythm. So if you want to feed Al Gore's rhythm, subscribe to Liberal Dane Radio and talk from the left. That's right." That would be amazing. What's up, Scott? Good to see you. Anyway, yeah, we got a lot of celebrity deaths going on in the past weekend. Pete Rose just died today. Dikembe Mutombo died today. Chris Christopherson died yesterday. Dame Maggie Smith died on Saturday, I think it was. So the Grim Reaper is out there hacking people left and right. So watch out. Aaron, Al Gore is not on Cameo. Thank you for checking that, Aaron. And not that I would have been able probably to afford an Al Gore cameo or not, but, you know, it's even if I could afford an Al Gore cameo when it comes to, you know, personal use, that's, I probably really wouldn't be able to afford an Al Gore cameo for the use of the podcast. But, you know,
it
oh
is
well.
What it is.
Thank you, Donald. So what's up, Janelle? Good to see you. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. Let's talk about Tony brought up something first, which is interesting. Apparently, the founder emeritus or the initial creator of the Heritage Foundation is supporting Vice President Harris for president. You heard that right. If you hadn't heard that already, you heard that right. One of the founders of the Heritage Foundation, who's no longer with the Heritage Foundation, mind you, who believes that the Heritage Foundation is going in the wrong way, has lots of stuff to say about where the Heritage Foundation is now and the people it's supporting and Donald Trump and yada, yada, yada. So he is supporting Vice President Harris for president. But in order to be their snivelly, lying, horrible ways that MAGA folks can be, they are now trying to say that because the founder of the Heritage Foundation is now supporting Kamala Harris for president, and because the Heritage Foundation created Project 2025, that magically this means that now the people that wrote Project 2025, i.e. the current Heritage Foundation, is supporting Vice President Harris. And that is so incredibly illogical and so incredibly wrong that it would be laughable if it wasn't on such an important issue like, you know, having it be election disinformation or what have you. And I'm sure if we reported those videos that claim that the Heritage Foundation and Project 2025 are now, and the drafters of Project 2025 are now backing Vice President Harris, despite the fact that the Project 2025 document makes no mention of anybody, you know, in a positive way, at least, of the Biden-Harris administration, and repeatedly talks about Donald Trump in a positive way and his previous administration, the idea that the Heritage Foundation is supporting her is laughable. But according to these conservative nitwits who are pushing this, either they knowingly understand that it's false, but expect people to believe it, or they just are being duped. Either way, they're like, you want to make a liberal's head explode? You can go ahead and tell them that the founder of the Heritage Foundation is supporting Vice President Harris, so that means that she must be getting support from the Project 2025 people, because they will do anything they can to obfuscate the fact that Agenda 47 and Project 2025 are the same fracking thing. There's like, it's the same picture, that meme were from The Office. Like, corporate wants you to, you know, tell the difference between these two pictures. It's the same picture. And it is the same picture. It clearly is. And we've already gone over several examples of that on the show. I've had one video posted on that. We'll be going over another example of why Project 2025 and Agenda 47 is the same thing. And because they deal and talk about the same issues and want the same results. So if it walks like a duck or a goose steps like a Nazi and it, you know, says Heil like a Nazi, it's a Nazi, right? So Dean Baker, imagine the revolution by rich people. Well, rich people are revolting, but maybe in a different manner in which you're using the word. So what is up, my Rosie? She's very early with the snuggles today. Look at that. Yeah, Heritage Foundation founder was a different Republican, a Reagan Republican. Roberts said he wanted a second revolution. Yeah, I mean, right. It's completely different. It's a completely different organization at this point. I mean, they're always terrible. but they're even more terrible now. And they're so terrible now that the original founder was like, you know what? Screw these guys. I'm supporting the vice president for president. That's how bad the Heritage Foundation has gotten. That Robert Sky of the Heritage Foundation and Project 2025 killed a neighbor's dog with a shovel. Didn't also RFK Jr. kill another animal or something with a dog and also a bear and also other creatures or whatever? Brain worms are nasty. You can say that, Daniel. The correct response to the Richo revolting is you need to respond back, say, they stink on ice. He is also a trustee, did not even consider himself a co-founder, really. Close enough. I mean, point is, he was involved with the Heritage Foundation and then left the Heritage Foundation a long, long time ago. Sorry. Dan, don't grab that. What, the backside of the cat? Yeah, I know. I'm good when she turns around to know what to grab and what not to grab. Okay, easy number. My bad. He was a founding trustee. Sorry, no problem. I mean, it's fine if you fact check yourself in the chat. That's cool. So, let's see. So we got, again, lots of stuff to talk about. Let's talk a little bit about the abortion crazy, shall we? We all know Hal doesn't like TikTok or whatever, but I usually get on there to fight the fight against anti-Semitism because anti-Semitism is rampant on there. And, excuse me, basically I use it as a tool. It helps me create, little short, produced videos, which then I could upload to YouTube. And some of the videos that I've, created with TikTok and then uploaded to YouTube have been doing have actually been getting pretty good views. Good example, I think I posted one the other day about potential ableism at grocery stores and Costco and other, warehouse type stores, when they take an item and they move it to the other side of the store and then you have to go wandering the store to go find the item. And people who have mobility impairments are likely to be harmed by this type of policy because if they can't get around as easily, then guess what? You're not going to have it's bad for them. And then people kept on commenting on the video, which was like, I'm trying to worry about other people. And they're commenting on the video basically saying, that I was making the video for myself. No, unlike MAGA supporters, me and y'all, the listeners, watchers or what have you, we have empathy. We actually try and think about other people and how policies affect other people instead. So I made that little video. It's got like 500 views, which is not bad for a video on my channel. Some people just don't get why one might, talk about something and have it not be applicable to them, but still be applicable to others. Kind of like, how I talk about abortion rights and body autonomy. Because when it comes to abortion rights, I will not personally be affected by any abortion ban simply because of the fact that, look at you. Oh my goodness, that's sweet. Did you see that? She grabbed my hand to put it closer so I would scratch her. Look at that sweet kitty. You're being very sweet today. Look at that. Anyway, so yeah, I support abortion rights and the freedom of people to be able to choose whether or not they want to continue on with their pregnancy. I'm never going to get pregnant. So it doesn't affect me, but I still care about it because it affects other people, and you should worry about other people besides yourself. Shocking, I know. So, hey, Mad Matt, good to see you. Hey, Easy E as well. Project 25 also wants to get rid of an NOAA and FEMA. Don't bury the lead. That is one of the things I'll be talking about tonight as well, is the whole NOAA thing, especially with the most recent, hurricane with Helene that stormed through and ravaged North Carolina and Tennessee and parts of Florida and Georgia and all that bad stuff that happened. Hey, Trucker John, it's good to see you, Trucker John. Go subscribe to Trucker John's channel. And to 21st Century Suffragettes, and to Boston Brian, to Dude. I'm sure most of y'all, or all of y'all, have already subscribed to Hal, so I have to say that, but I'll still say it anyway, because give Hal shouts out. Go to the liberaldan.com, Friends of the Show page, and you'll find lots of different links that you can go to support support Friends of the Show. So, waiting for those rants. Oh, they're a-coming. Trust me, they're a-coming. But on the issue of abortion, I've noticed that there's at least a few people on TikTok and some others as well where I've seen that they're trying to reframe the abortion argument. They're trying to reframe it in such a way where they say, when we talk about abortion, we're using the CDC definition of abortion, which includes like X, Y, and Z, and doesn't include things like treatment of ectopic pregnancies, treatment of already of failed pregnancies, etc. The problem with that is this, and I don't know if they know this or not, but the problem with that is that if you treat an ectopic pregnancy, it is considered an abortion. And these people in this chat were like, when somebody told them that, they were like, oh, no, it's not. The CDC says it's not. No. The website that they're looking at in the CDC basically says that that definition is defining abortion as a certain thing for use of abortion surveillance. So when the CDC has this item, defines abortion in that way, it's only to say these are the abortions that we're counting when it comes to surveilling abortions. And so they're only going to count legally obtained abortions but not abortions that are those, you know, that are not by choice. They're only tracking the abortions by choice options. They're not dealing with the DNCs when the pregnancy is totally miscarried. They're not counting the treatment of ectopic pregnancies in counting abortion surveillance, whatever. But these people don't want to hear that. These people want to make it seem like, oh, we're not trying to tell people to not be able to treat ectopic pregnancies. Now, in like states like Louisiana, the Louisiana ban, I think, does specifically mention ectopic pregnancies are okay to treat. Which is better than some of the other ones. But the problem is that, and again, Jeff Carrere, the guy that I listen to a lot, I get my words of redneck wisdom from his listeners a lot, from people that call into his show. And I, you know, I basically see a lot of time what the crazies think. He had somebody on a show this morning who was trying to say, do the other thing that these people are trying to do with abortion, which is to try and claim that. And all of these cases where people were denied treatment, that they are somehow, it's only malpractice, that it's not state doing it, it's the people interpreting the law incorrectly. Well, the problem with that is that when the laws are written in such a way that it's hard to interpret and the wording is vague, then it's hard to interpret that in a way that's going to be, you know, a way that allows you to perform the procedure and allow you to keep your job and not go to prison. So like when the wording of the law says that the abortion has to be, or the pregnancy has to be a direct, immediate threat to the individual's life, and the abortion has to be, or have a direct, immediate threat to the patient's health, like not just health, but that would cause permanent damage to a major life-sustaining organ, I guess brain, heart, etc. Wonder if you could make the argument that it's going to damage your skin permanently, and as such, your skin is a very important organ for your life, right? So they probably wouldn't allow that. But you can't even make the argument that it's malpractice. You can't even make that argument because in the state of Texas, when Attorney General Paxton was dealing with the case of Kate Cox, what happened there? She tried to get a procedure. A lower court ordered the procedure to take place. Paxton said that if they performed the procedure at any of the hospitals, that he would directly go after the hospitals. So he was using the power of the state to tell the hospitals that they couldn't treat her, even though her pregnancy was failing, was doomed. She was never going to deliver any live infant. And at the end of the day, if they allowed the pregnancy to go forward, it would have potentially caused her severe impairment to her uterus and or to her other parts of her reproductive system, and or even be she might get sepsis and die. But the threat was immediate. What about other situations? Like, for example, there are people who, where if you have a certain condition, they basically tell you you can't get pregnant. And if you do get pregnant, and the risk to your health grows day by day. Now, if you know that this person is in this position, you know this person shouldn't be pregnant, you should be able to get rid of the pregnancy immediately, even though it's not an immediate threat to your health. It's not an immediate threat to your life. But why force permanent damage, like what happened to the woman who responded to the Date Right Stuff guy video? He was like, show me about all these women who are bleeding out in parking lots. And then thousands of women were like, well, that was me. That was me. That was me. And of course he didn't deal with it because, you know, conservatives will never admit that they are wrong. I think I've got cat hair all over myself now. Conservatives will never admit that they're wrong. Hey, Orvillaby over in the, over in Twitch, thank you so much for joining us. Five Eggs is here. Hey, good to see you, Five Eggs. Kevin Anderson's here. We got Big Hook. We got, who else? Who else showed up? Diane. I did give a shout-out to the 21st Century Suffragettes earlier. So, Josh, TJ and Dan are the best. Oh, thank you so much, Josh. I appreciate you. Michael McAndrews is here. Good to see you as well. Again, remember, everybody, if you haven't liked the video, just go ahead and like it. Subscribe to the channel if you're not subscribed. Share the live. Share other videos. Comment on other videos. Interact with posters, even those that are deplorable. Get the algorithms up. Wait, Trucker John, what if Mish was a bot that was deactivated? I've seen Mish over on Dude's channel, so I don't believe that Mish was a bot. And Mish interacted with me on both Twitch and YouTube, so I don't know where in the conversation I might have missed that, but, you know, it happens.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. So, yeah, Steve, Mish was a real chatter. Yeah, that's what I was saying. So, all right. So, yeah, so this is one of the reasons also why I think we should fight conservatives everywhere. Now, if you don't feel safe going to certain apps like TikTok, by all means, don't do it. Take your own digital safety in your hands. Take your own safety in your hands for whatever it is. But there are plenty of people who get information from TikTok. So we have to fight the bad information everywhere it is. So anyway, I do. Yes, I hope Misha's okay as well. I have seen Misha over in Dude's channel. So I just haven't seen her here much. Which is fine. I mean, you can go whatever channel you want. It's fine. So anyway, let's see. What to talk about next, since I already got my abortion rant out the way. Let me take a big gulp. Not a big gulp. We don't have 7-Elevens down here. But a big gulp of drink, and I'll switch over to water now. I'm very close to Trucker John. I'm very close to deactivating my Twitter account because they are apparently changing the policy to where if you block somebody, they can still see you. They just can't interact with you. And I'm like, well, if I block somebody for a particular reason, it's because I don't want that person seeing what I say. Now, of course, you can create a SOC account. You can. There's all sorts of ways to get around, you know, watching, you know, if you're going to see somebody or not. You know, we all know that, but I would rather not have certain accounts be able to see anything that I put up. So, so it makes me very tempted to not want to continue on with my Twitter account. However, same thing applies. The people over there need debunking, need to be fought. Every single place where they're spreading their disinformation and their lies and their anti-Semitism and their anti-Haitian bigotry, their racism, etc., they need to be fought everywhere. So if they need to be fought everywhere, you got to fight them everywhere, or somebody has to fight them everywhere. So anyway, let's go ahead. We do have something a little different today. So I'm going to have different show backgrounds for what I'm talking about. Because I want to be able to record the things and have it be specifically on what we're talking about. In this case, the Trump watch scam. Let me go ahead and get the other thing ready first before I start the recording. Anyway, here we go. So, the Donald Trump new scam, the new his new grift, if you will, is the whole Trump watch deal. And some of the Trump watches are going up for sale for $100,000. Now, who the hell has $100,000 to buy a Trump watch? Not me. We'll get to that in a second as to who might have the money. But let's go ahead and look at the website, shall we? Trump watches. There's a fight watch. This one is a $499 pre-order now. So this one's only $500. Where you can order yourself a Trump watch. Features a president's signature and red for the dial and bezel. So lovely. This new red, white, and blue version with Donald Trump's terrible signature is only $7.99, and you can pre-order it now. And all these other Trumps that are there, all these other watches that are available for you to buy, all these, I don't want to advertise. I'm not advertising. Trump is clearly not a sponsor, but we're using this site to talk about the that Donald. Oh, look at the back with the fight has the arm raised. You don't really see a bloody ear though. I guess it's numbered so you could know water resistant. I guess to 200 meters. Ooh, 660 feet. Of course, it says meters on here, but since we're Americans, we have to use feet, right? A symbol of determination. You can pre-order it now. So here's the first thing I want you to notice, and let's zoom on this a little bit. Here's the thing I want you to notice. The images shown are for illustration purposes only and may not be the exact representation of the product. So they don't even have watches. They don't even have what the watch is available. These are not watches. Oh. These are not watches. These are a concept of a watch. That's what these are. These are concepts of watches. Just like Donald Trump doesn't have a plan for healthcare, he has a concept of a plan. So, Steve, Jackie, it reports to Trump if you don't vote for him. Hilarious. But yeah. So yeah, that's the first thing. There's no watch. There's a concept of a watch. Terms of use on a thing, you have to use forced arbitration or whatever. Limitations of liability, yada, yada, yada. So there's all the legal mumbo jumbo and, you know, paying for a watch. You may place an order with or without an account, blah, blah, blah. Nothing on the website. Nothing on the website constitutes a binding offer to sell you products. What? If it's not a binding offer to sell you products, then what the hell are they doing? FAQ, the frequently asked questions. I'm sure these questions are so frequently asked. Let me tell you. Are these official watches by President Trump? These are the only watches offered by President Trump and they include a replica of his famous signature. What is for sale? We are providing the ability to pre-order Trump watches. So they're offering you the ability to pre-order. It's not actually for sale yet. You have the ability to pre-order. Why are these watches special? Our Donald J. Trump watches stand as symbols of the Trump legacy. So they're going to fall apart. Is that what you're saying? They're going to fall apart and they're going to kill people with COVID. Is that what these watches are going to do? These timepieces are crafted to be more than just accessories. More than just accessories to a crime. Yes. They are collectibles and embody the spirit of leadership, success, and resilience. Blah, blah, blah. When will they ship? Supposedly in October, November, December for the Trump Victory Tour Billion watches. And the fight start in October, November, December. Shipping and delivery dates are estimates and cannot be guaranteed. They cannot guarantee that they're going to ship your item. They're not liable for any delays in shipments. Is why such a long lead time? Our products are made to order. Again, it's just a concept of a watch, but they're made to order. So what? What's there? I mean, don't you have faith in the items? Wouldn't it be cheaper to assemble multiple watches at once than one at a time as they order? Again, will I be getting the exact watch that I see on the site? The image is sewn for illustration purposes and may not be an exact representation of the product, i.e., these are only concept of watches. Again, they're not real watches. They're just concept of watches. Can I buy items with my credit card or crypto? Yes, you can buy the Trump fight watches with your credit card, coin. You can buy the watches with Bitcoin. So who might want to send $100,000 worth of Bitcoin to Herr Donald and, you know, to kind of, could it be that you might have foreign interests that might want to be able to funnel money to Donald Trump with Bitcoin, with cryptocurrency, and do it via these watches, especially the $100,000 a pop watch? This is the way that Donald Trump is going to try and get money illegally from other countries to help him in his campaign, much like the whole Egypt shenanigans that took place, what, with the $10 million that Egypt freed up, and then magically Donald Trump then puts $10 million into his campaign, but, you know, he's not in prison for that again either, even though he wasn't president at the time when it happened. But, you know, it is what it is, right, Donnie boy? But yeah, this should be very fishy and should be investigated right very quickly that these people are going to try and use this site. But foreign interests are going to try and buy these watches, the $100,000 watches. They're going to use Bitcoin to be able to get. They're not even going to care that they get the watches. All they're going to care about is that they're funneling money into Donald Trump. And Donald Trump will then know, oh, these are the people who I now owe favors to if I'm elected to the presidency again. One of the many reasons why you can't elect Donald Trump to the presidency. This is another case against Donald Trump. He is opening this up so he could be bought off by foreign interests who can use Bitcoin to buy his watches. So there's that. Contact information for the Best Watches on Earth, LLC, 1309 Coffeen Avenue, Suite 1200, Sheridan, Wyoming, 82801. Why do I bring up the address? Well, if you bring up the address, you look at and you find that there's many other. This is the building that it's located at. If you do a Google search of 1309 Coffeen Avenue, this is the building. This is the area that we're talking about where businesses are. You have New Era Industries, which is another domestic for-profit corporation located at the same address. New Era Industries is a licensed medical device distributor. Not that, you know, shocking of a thing being sold, but it's just interesting to see that this is the Trump grifter foreign bribe watches are not the only things at this address. And it doesn't look like it's just a simple incorporation address, because the incorporation address, I think, is somewhere else for a lot of these places. I don't even know what this business entity is, the Hell Cover X. I didn't even want to. Facebook has the Hell Cover. We can open up the Facebook Hell Cover X page, I guess, and look and see what it might be. It's just cell phone covers. So there you go. It's just cell phone covers, I guess, is what they sell. So at this address, they sell cell phone covers. They sell medical equipment. And apparently, they give you the ability to pre-order watches, because they're not selling watches. They're selling currently concept of watches, which they will accept Bitcoin, and that can come from a foreign government. What else is there? The Royal Honey Shop. About Royal Honey, we offer more than just honey. We are a business run by family. The business is run in the center of Dallas, but they manufactured or whatever in Wyoming. Quite a while back, we left on an excursion driven by a basic and significant mission to share the affection and closeness that families treasure. So it's the finest honeys and royal delicacies that could be created, blah, 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 as symbols of love and unity, providing high quality goods about making minutes unite families, each spoonful in turn, unite families. In what way are they united families? Well, they're uniting families. This is the ultimate power source is the royal honey thing. Let's look at all of the products and see what they're called, because Black Bull Honey, Black Horse Vital Honey, Hard Steel Honey, Pink Pussycat Honey. These are Vital Max Double Shot. This is like honeys to help you get erections. So that's also the other product that's being sold at this location. It's not just, you know, the concept of watches and medical equipment and cell phone covers. They're also at the same location producing and selling boner honey. So, yeah. This is not just another grift in that he's trying to figure out more ways to get more money from the people that he likes to grift from. The fact that you can use bitcoins to buy $100,000 watches from Herr Donald means that he is basically opening himself up to be influenced by and paid off by foreign, high-powered, wealthy foreign interests who will be able to buy the watches, these worthless watches, for $100,000 with Bitcoin, so it's harder to trace. So what do you think? Is this all wrong? Do you think I'm wrong somewhere? If you think I'm right, make sure to like this video, share it with your friends, and subscribe to the channel. As always, have a good day. There we go. That's that video. Brendan Woods, what Trump is doing in Wyoming should be called to the FBI. Trucker John, do you eat it or slather it on? Maybe you do both. I don't know. Maybe you slather it on and that's how you ingest it, you know, using food play. I don't know. Invisible watches. And I mean, invisible watches. It's just a concept of a watch because they don't have any made. And porn honey, yes. Easy network. Not all crypto is foreign owned, but many drug dealers and arms traffickers use crypto. It's big on the dark web. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There are many illegal purposes for use of crypto. People who are drug dealers, people who are arms dealers. A lot of people like using cryptocurrency to trade in illicit goods. But if you can buy these concepts of watches, pre-order the concept of a watch with crypto, and there's no limit on who could buy it. So guess what? Foreign interests could be like, oh, I would like to give Donald $100,000, but I don't know how to do it. I can't make campaign donation. It's illegal. I'm in Russia. I can't make illegal campaign contribution. You have to be in America for that. Well, now they can, because all they need to do is buy the concept of the watch using crypto for whatever, and then they get to bribe Donald Trump, and Donald Trump gets to have plausible deniability, even though we're not fooled here on Liberal Dan Radio Talk from the Left. That's right. We know. Because we know Donald Trump. We know the grift. We know how he operates. And we know that this is a whole bunch of BS. So that video is one of several that's going to be up after tonight's show. It will be live for members as soon as it posts, and it will go live for everybody else in the morning. So if you are a liberal Danimal and you share it, the people aren't going to see it until the morning. But once the morning rolls around and everybody can see it, you'll be able to share it and everybody will be able to see it. But, you know, this should be getting more traction than it already is. I mean, I can't believe I'm the only one to be talking about this. I'm sure others are talking about this, but I'm seeing people talk about the ridiculousness of the Trump watches on the news, but I haven't seen like MSNBC or anybody else, you know, in the big media networks talking about the fact that you can use crypto to buy these watches, so therefore it enables foreign interests to funnel money into President Trump without, you know, violating campaign finance laws because, oh, they're just buying a watch, right? Brandon, Hal talked about the crypto part as well. So, I mean, I guess I missed that, but good for him. I mean, it's good, but Again, Hal, while bigger than me, is still not the mass media. The mass media needs to be talking about this crap. And because they're not talking about this crap is why all of these other people, myself, Hal, Dude, Ross and Brian, Trucker John, everybody needs to help elevate these up, these accounts up, to enable them to be able to spread the word about these important issues. Jimmy Carter should get a watch. He'll be 100 in just a few hours. Yes, happy upcoming birthday to Jimmy Carter. Can you imagine the fact that he might get to vote in this upcoming election when everybody thought he was a goner years ago? So, let's see. I would not pay $100,000 for a Rolex, and Rolex holds its value. It holds its value over time. They accrue in value because they're so limited and known for quality over a long time. Well, I mean, that's because you are smart in not wanting to spend $100,000 on a freaking watch. And also, but that's not the reason why these people are paying money for these concepts of watches. They're paying the money for these concepts of watches because, guess what? As we all know, Trump wants to be able to grift and especially get grifting from, you know, foreign governments or what have you. And I'm sure, Trucker John, I'm sure it'll be a cheap piece of crap, not worth anywhere near what the asking price is. Right. But it has his signature on it. So therefore, if it has his signature on it, it must be worth something, right? I mean, I guess crap could be worth something to anybody at any point, right? See, along with his rhetoric, Trump's grifts have been normalized. It's infuriating. Absolutely. He's done so many grifts where everybody's like, oh, it's just another grift from Donald Trump, which makes him more likely to get away with the grifts. Right? Helps him get away with the grifts by enabling him. They enable him with that. So let's go ahead and change the thing yet again. Something that that I was nitpicked on by faith. Let's change the scene. Browse. That's that. And here we go again. Just start recording this video too. Does anyone know sneakers were actually shipped? They were due to be shipped in August. I don't know if the sneakers were shipped. That would be interesting to see whether or not they were actually shipped or not. But here's the thing. I don't even think Donald Trump actually owns this corporation. He gets around it by licensing agreements. But I'm sure the licensing agreement allows him to get a portion of every shoe or whatever. That's my assumption. Where it's not just a one-time, hey, or shoe or the watch or whatever it is he's grifting. The thing with that is that, you know, he uses the license. So he's getting paid on the licensed use of his name. Although, as they clearly say in the FAQ, these are Donald Trump's watches. So there it is. So let's go to here. So let's start recording again. Project 2025 in the NOAA/NHC, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the National Hurricane Center, and other things that are involved in the NOAA. I recently shared a meme or an image or something on Facebook that said that while we're seeing all this hurricane damage going on, just to let you know that the National Hurricane Center is going to be destroyed by Project 2025. And then Facebook comes around and they say, this is not true. Fact checkers have said that this is not true because Project 2025 doesn't specifically state in the document that they are going to eliminate specifically the National Hurricane Center. They don't specifically state that. But it's still a reasonable idea that one could, you know, come with if you actually read the context of the wording in Project 2025. You will specifically see that the end result of this is going to be the destruction of all of the parts of the NOAA, because that's what they do. It won't be anything like it is, and then, you know, we'll be screwed. But the fact checker's like, oh, well, the words aren't exactly in there, so you can't say it. Yes, of course, we can infer it by what's in there. We can reach a logical conclusion based on this. It's like, for example, one of my friends on Facebook was nitpicking me and being unnecessarily pedantic about the whole thing, too. I was like, you know, Vice President Harris calls the tariff plan of Donald Trump the Trump national sales tax or the Trump sales tax plan. So these fact checkers would probably come around like, well, like, Donald Trump didn't say that he really is going to impose a sales tax. Donald Trump said that he's imposing a tariff on the other countries. That's what he said. So we're rating this mostly false by Vice President Harris because he never said that he wants to implement a national sales tax. But you can infer from Donald Trump's plan on wanting to impose like 200% tariffs on businesses that leave the country and everything else, yada, yada, yada. You can infer that, you know, well, if those tariffs are assessed, who's going to pay those tariffs? It's not the businesses. The businesses, wherever possible, are going to pass those expenses on to the consumers. So it's no different than putting on a sales tax. You're just assessing the tax at a different point along the manufacturing chain or the sales chain or whatever, but you're still causing the consumers to pay more. So if it's easier in common parlance to be able to say it's basically just a sales tax, and it's fine saying it. It's unneeded pedantry to be like, oh, he didn't really say this, so she's wrong by saying a national sales tax because it's really not a sales tax. It's a tariff. But it has the same effect, so stop being so freaking pedantic and understand the point that's trying to be made. That's why sometimes fact checkers can be very ridiculous. As we come here to Project 2025 and the wording in Project 2025, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. First, break up the NOAA. What could go wrong? Right? What could go wrong with breaking up the NOAA? You just have these little parts of the NOAA that work interdependently on each other. So if you remove piece and that piece and whatever from the NOAA and you put it in different places, it's not going to work as well. Analogy I like to use with this one is like, you know, I'm going to take apart your vehicle, your car. Well, then I'm not going to be able to use my engine because you're taking apart my vehicle. Well, I never said I was going to break your engine. I never said your engine would stop working. Right? I'm just saying that I'm going to take apart your vehicle. But if I take apart your vehicle, guess what? Your engine will no longer work. That's the same kind of concept here. If you break up the NOAA, the interdependent parts are either not going to work as well as they do, what, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts idea. You're going to wreck the entire thing. So the single biggest Department of Commerce agency outside of the decennial census years is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which houses the National Weather Service, National Marine Fisheries Service, and other components. The NOAA garners $6.5 billion of the department's $12 billion annual operation budget and accounts for more than half of the department's personnel in non-decadal census years. The NOAA consists of six offices, National Weather Service, NWS, the National Oceanic Service, NOS, the Oceanic and Atmospheric Research, OAR, different than the band, the National Environmental Satellite Data and Information Service, NESDIS, sounds like Nintendo and Disney together, the National Marine Fisheries Service, and the Office of Marine and Aviation Operations and NOAA Corps. Why would you want to split the Office of the Marine and Aviation Operations and NOAA Corps? Why would you want to split that away from the National Hurricane Center? When it's those planes that go in and look at, you know, the eyewall of hurricanes to see what's the strength, what's the wind speed at the eyewall, to get accurate measurements of these hurricanes so that we can better predict what's going to go on when they make landfall. And they want to split this up now? Again, this is stupid. So taking away the removing the part that helps the National Weather Center, which will look at hurricanes, taking that part away from, you know, the airplanes that help it determine how strong hurricanes are, means the National Weather Service is going to be not as good as it was before. Together, these form a colossal operation that has become one of the main drivers of climate change alarm industry, and as such, harmful to future U.S. prosperity, because that's their main goal here. They're not actually, they don't care about people's lives, even though they're pro-life. They don't care that having a robust and working National Weather Service is going to help people, and it's going to help save lives. They don't care about that. They want to make sure that businesses don't have to deal with climate change, right? That's the point. This industry's mission, emphasis on prediction and management seems designed around the fatal conceit of planning for the unplannable. But by having the National Weather Service and having airplanes that can go into hurricanes and having all the other parts of the NOAA that it work that are interdependent on each other, you then are able to, you know, help predict when hurricanes are going to happen, help see what their tracking is going to be, help see how strong it is and how fast it's growing, see how fast it's moving, you know, all the things that one might need to determine whether or not they need to get the hell out of Dodge if a hurricane is coming their way. That is not to say the NOAA is useless, but its current organization corrupts its useful functions. No, that's stupid. It should be broken up and downsized because, you know, according to them, smaller is better. But I guess that's what they tell their wives every night too, right? NOAA boasts that it is a provider of environmental information services, a provider of environmental stewardship services, a leader in applied scientific research. Each of these functions could be provided commercially at lower cost and higher quality. There's no evidence for that. Commercially means you're going to try and get profit, and profit is another form of waste, especially when you're dealing with things of a scientific nature that may very well, that people rely on to help have their lives be saved, because more people would die from major storms if they didn't have the information that they currently have. Focus the National Weather Service on commercial operations. Each day, Americans rely on weather forecasts and warnings provided by local radio stations and colleges that are produced not by the NWS, but by private companies such as AccuWeather. Studies have found that these forecasts and warnings provided by private companies are more reliable than those provided by the NWS. I don't believe you. The NWS provides data the private companies use and should focus its data gathering services because private companies rely on this data. The NWS should fully commercialize its forecasting operations. Why? So if somebody can't afford to pay for it, they're not going to get the information that they need? That's BS. NOAA does not currently utilize commercial partnerships as some other agencies do. Commercialization of weather technologies should be prioritized to ensure that taxpayer dollars are invested in the most cost-efficient technologies for high quality research and weather data. Investing in different sizes of commercial partners will increase competition while ensuring that the government solutions provided to each contract is personalized to the needs of NOAA's weather programs. Again, such high pie in the sky type ideas that basically almost sound like, you know, the same sort of BS logic that justifies trickle-down economics. The NWS would be a candidate to be a performance-based organization to better enforce organizational focus. Right, because that's always good. Someone asks, let me guess, Elon will be involved too. Maybe. We'll get to that in a second. Review the work of the National Hurricane Center and the National Environmental Satellite Service. The National Hurricane Center and National Environmental Satellite Service data centers provide important public safety and business functions as well as academic functions, are used by forecasting agencies and scientists internationally. Data continuity is an important issue in climate science. Data collected by the department should be presented neutrally without adjustments intended to support any one side of the climate debate. Here's their problem with this. So if you have facts that show climate science is real, climate change is real, they don't want you to say that. They want you to say, here are the facts, and then reach your own conclusions, man. But in reality, you know, by leaving it open, you're actually causing more harm. Instead of allowing the science to say, we have looked at this information, and from this information, we've determined that climate change is real, and therefore you listen to the scientists. Oh, shocked, I know. Transfer NOS survey functions to the U.S. Coast Guard and the U.S. Geological Survey. Survey operations have historically accounted for almost half of the NOS budget. These functions could be transferred to the Coast Guard and the Geological Survey to increase efficiency. Why? Why would moving it to the Coast Guard increase any efficiency whatsoever? They've not explained why this would happen. They're just saying it will happen, and people believe it, just like Lucy and the football again. Streamline the NMFS. Overlap exists between the National Marine Fisheries Service and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Overly simplified, the NMFS handles saltwater species while Fish and Wildlife focuses on freshwater. The goals of these two agencies should be streamlined, i.e. they don't want to worry about the environmental effects of corporations on the environment when it comes to our wildlife and fisheries, and therefore want to make it easier for our corporations to pollute the waters and not have to worry about the effect that it has on those polluted waters, on the fishermen that work those waters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Harmonize the Magnuson-Stevens Act with the National Marine Sanctuaries Act under the auspices of NOS. Marine sanctuaries, including no fishing zones, are being established countrywide, often conflicting with the goals of the Magnuson-Stevens Act fisheries management authorities of NOA fisheries, regional fishery management in relevant states. So, yeah, so they don't like the no fishing zones probably and want you to be able to fish wherever you want, but if you overfish an area, you get rid of the fish. Withdraw the 3030 executive order and associated America Beautiful Initiative. We don't want America to be beautiful. America is beautiful when Donald Trump is president, right? Modify regulations implementing Marine Mammal Protection Act. Allow a NEPA exemption for fisheries actions. All requirements for robust analysis of biological, economic, blah, 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 blah. NEPA overlays these requirements with onerous, redundant, and time-consuming process requirements which routinely cause unnecessary delays in the promulgation of timely fisheries management actions, i.e., they want to be able to quickly say, yeah, sure, you can fish here, or allow the people who they want to fish there. Downsize the Office of Oceanic and Atmospheric Research. OAR provides theoretical science as opposed to applied science, i.e., they don't like theoretical science. They don't want people trying to understand why things are happening, because if people actually determine why the things are happening, i.e., if they can figure out the theory behind what's going on and learn more about what's happening, then you might be able to have better climate science. But they don't want that. Any advancement in the theoretical understandings of how climate works means that, you know, businesses are going to be less likely to pollute or what have you. So, no. And then, of course, you know, that. So when you're working with the OAR, the Oceanic and Atmospheric Research, that clearly has connections to, like, the fish in the oceans. So that's why you want to keep all of that stuff intertwined, because they work together. And by separating, you make the whole, the parts of the whole less powerful than if they're all combined into Voltron. Yeah, is this Manga's idea of draining the swamp? Well, Manga's idea of draining the swamp, Trucker John, was always replacing it with an even swampier swamp. Break off the Office of Marine and Aviation Operations and reassign its assets to other agencies. The Office of Marine and Aviation Operations, which provides the ships and planes used by NOAA agencies, should be broken up, its assets reassigned to General Services Administration or other agencies. So you're going to add more steps that are required for the people dealing with stuff like, you know, flying their airplanes into hurricanes to do scientific measurements to help figure out how strong the hurricane is, where it's going, yada, yada, yada. You're going to take that away from that, and you're going to put it with somewhere else, and now they have to jump through additional hoops to try and get the needed aircraft in the right position. Stupid. Use small innovation prizes and competitions to encourage high-quality research. Why does it have to be small? Again, because they don't want large ideas, because large ideas that help show that climate change and climate science is real harm the ability of their rich people, the rich donors, the people that support the Heritage Foundation. It denies them the ability to actually do the business that they want to do, which involves, you know, killing the environment. So that's what they want to do. Yeah, Diane Russell, MAGA is the deep state. Every accusation is a confession. Exactly, Diane. 21st Century Suffragettes, check it out. Get the link to it. Go to liberaldan.com, click Friends of the Show. The link is there. Ensure appointees agree with administration aims. Scientific agencies like NOAA are vulnerable to obstructionism if an administration aims as political appointees are not wholly in sync with the administration policy. Particular attention must be paid to appointments in this area. So basically, what they're worried about is they want to make sure that everybody who works for the NOAA is going to be goose-stepping right behind Donald Trump if Donald Trump becomes president. Right? That's what they want. They don't want somebody in these offices to be able to say, oh, this is the science. It doesn't matter what you feel, Mr. Trump. This is the science of how things work. And as such, we're going to present it to you. Because Donnie Boy doesn't like when people contradict him. So they want to make sure that the president is surrounded by a bunch of yes people who are going to say, yes, sir, and use sir a lot because he likes when people say sir, apparently. And they're just going to follow in lockstep behind what he wants to do, which is going to be what Project 2025 wants to do, because Project 2025 and Agenda 47, as we've already seen and we'll show again later in the show, are the same thing. Elevate the Office of Space Commerce. The Office of Space Commerce is the executive branch advocate on behalf of U.S. commercial space industry. The office should be a vehicle for the new administration to set robust and unified whole-of-government commercial space policy that cements U.S. leadership in one of the most crucial areas of the future. The future! The office's current mission has been lost, owing its position within NESDIS, which sees no role for itself in advancing the industry, blah, 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 blah. There presently exists no modified U.S. government policy on commercial space operations within the FCC, largely responsible for establishing space policy by default through its regulation of radio spectrum licenses. Now that routine space operations are commercially viable, it's critical that a new administration establish reasonable government policies and assure U.S. will continue to be the flag of choice for commercial space activities. Basically, yeah, as someone said, as I think it was Eazy-E that said, they want to involve Elon Musk, I'm sure, at some point. And of course, someone could come around and be like, well, it doesn't mention Elon Musk in the Project 2025 document in this section, so how can you say that? Because I can infer it because of the closeness between Donald Trump and Elon Musk and Donald Trump and the people involved in Project 2025. So we can do a lot of inferences when we read the documents and read between the lines. And that's what sometimes fact checkers refuse to do. They won't read between the lines. They want to be overly pedantic and say, well, it only said this, and we can't make any other inferences unless it's based on what they say. But even if you read what they say, there's plenty of inferences that can logically be made. And to try and fact check that and try and tell people that they're spreading false information when in reality all they're doing is making an inference based off of what they read, that's only harmful to this country, which is why we need to share things like this with other people, let them know, yeah, sure, it doesn't say that Donald Trump or Project 2025 is going to kill the National Hurricane Center. It doesn't say that specifically. But if you disassemble the NOAA and take away the parts that the National Hurricane Center needs to determine whether or not a storm's coming, how strong a storm is going to be, make it harder for them to do their job, you downsize it, you privatize it, you're basically killing it. You eliminate all the theoretical science to help you understand better why storms happen and why they're getting stronger and more harsh and more frequent. Yeah, you're going to kill the National Hurricane Center by dismantling the NOAA. And that's the point. But for some reason, the fact checkers want to be like, oh, you're wrong. No, we're right. And it's irresponsible of these so-called fact checkers to come in and try and say that we're wrong because we're inferring things that are clearly inferable from the document here. Anyway, what do you think? Do you agree, disagree? Leave your comments below. Remember to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and have a good day. And that's the second video that I'm working on that I'll upload later today after the show is over. Robin, is this about Space Force? I mean, there wasn't really talking that much about Space Force in this, but yeah, I'm sure they'll intertwine Space Farce. I mean, Space Force with all this as well. P-Dub, stockpiles for hurricanes will be paper towels for pandemics. It will be bleach and UV lights. Well, you need to find a way to put the bleach to disinfect it into the body. So it can't just be bleach. It has to be bleach and like syringes or other, maybe a catheter, but I don't want a catheter. I don't want that. Let's see, Trump will make it rain on call. Free to love. Speaking of which, speaking of that, let's go ahead. And we have, hold on, let me find this thing. Because that comment is the perfect one for introducing this week's Hypocrite of the Week. This week's Hypocrite of the Week is host of Ringside Politics, Jeff Cuere, who claims to not believe in man-made climate change because we can't do anything to change the weather and climate is cyclical. Today, Jeff cited a former guest to back his belief that government creates, manipulates, and steers hurricanes to harm people and, in this case, to make the election easier to steal. Which one is it, Jeff? Can we not change the climate or can we steer hurricanes at will? You can't have it both. To see who next week's Hypocrite of the Week will be, tune in live Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central on LiberalDenRadio.com or twitch.tv/LiberalDenRadio for more talk from the left. That's right. Yeah, so these people for years, since well before I even had a podcast, have been trying to make the argument. I was actually a guest on one of Jeff's TV shows one year I was debating somebody on his TV show, and I was explaining why, you know, we need to, you know, yes, there might be some cyclical elements of climate that are going to happen regardless of what we do, but that we shouldn't necessarily be worried about that because those are the cyclical things. Those are natural. We need to worry about those things that we are doing to the environment. And they're like, oh, no, we can't talk about that. We don't want that. It's a farce. It's real. There's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do whatsoever to change the climate, to change the weather, to do anything involving the weather. Man-made climate change is a hoax. But they believe still that you can steer hurricanes. You can target areas with hurricanes. They believe this crap. So they don't believe that that the actions of industries can affect the climate, but they believe that we can steer hurricanes into places. And in this case, it was with the intent of not just harming people, but affecting the election. So according to these brain surgeons, Hurricane Helene was created not from, you know, natural, you know, processes that create hurricanes, but it was created by, you know, man-made, seeding the clouds or whatever it is that they say we do, maybe chemtrails, I don't know, all the BS that they push to try and make us into, you know, a bunch of scared people of, oh no, there's a plane going across the sky, it's a chemtrail, yes. You know, they have us, you know, they'll talk about that and they'll say how, you know, climate change is a hoax, but we can steer hurricanes. Good job. Jeff, can't we just build a wall to keep the hurricanes out? Yeah, that'll work. Also, we could also nuke the hurricanes as Donald Trump said that he wanted to do, right? Dean Baker, Trump thinks nuclear weapons are toys in his crib. Right. Weather machines, all of them. Skittles is unicorn meat. Hilarious. Taste the rainbow. Wait, where's our friend? That'll be fun. That is a good joke to make there, but I'll save it for whatever. Or Villaby, it's undoubtedly more economical to keep all these organizations in a collaborative state or whatever than to separate them. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It clearly makes more sense to, again, because the whole of the NOAA is greater than the sum of its parts. But these people want to say otherwise. They believe that by downsizing, you improve. And there may be examples of where government, I'm not going to deny that there are areas of government that might benefit from downsizing, like spending in the military-industrial complex and buying tanks and planes for the military that the military doesn't want, but they're only building them to pay back the arms manufacturers and their campaign contributions, right? So maybe that's areas where we can downsize and reduce spending, but they're not going to want that because that's going to make a weaker military, even though these planes and tanks are sitting on like airfields and parking lots not being used because the military didn't want them. But hey, Jojo Mojo, good to see you. Hey, Tim, good to see you. Zell Marie, good to see you. Romper Stomper, freaking do, I see you and you and you. Anybody else I might have missed? Hello as well. I don't know if I said hi to Steve from across the pond. Hey, Steve. because he's aching to be the guy to use an N-bomb that would be getting him into history books. I'm sure Donald Trump has used an N-bomb, but not in the way that you're thinking. Thank you, Nick, for gifting a membership. And Trucker John got the membership. Look at that. Look at that. Trucker John got the membership from Nick. I always like to see when active users get the subscription. That always makes me happy. Like, for example, when I gifted a subscription to get me 3 free months of Apple TV for gifting a subscription to my Twitch channel, and I did it, and it went to Mish. So there you go. How will Home Depot stay in business when supplies are in demand for hurricanes and nobody knows it's coming? Exactly. Exactly. So let's see, what's the next thing to talk about here? We got so much stuff to talk about. I don't know what order I want to do it in. Let's do this. We'll go ahead and we'll make this larger first before we switch it over. And we're going to look over some of the examples of, and we can go ahead and do this. Project 2025 versus Agenda 47, trades and tariffs. Because I started a playlist that is going to have a comparison of Project 2025 versus Agenda 47. And that playlist is going to show exactly why they're the same thing. And this is going to be yet another video when we start it off. So there you go. Before we start, though, EZE, if anything, Navy or NASA should be used to do NOAA monitoring. I think NOAA personnel are often stationed on naval and Coast Guard vessels. That's fine. But still, you want them intertwined together because of the interconnectivity of those organizations make it so that separating them are going to make them less effective. And they haven't done anything to actually prove their argument. They're just stating that it's true and hoping people believe it. Wait, is Trucker John's birthday? Oh, early birthday present. When's your birthday, Trucker John? When is your birthday? The Creed of Love, heat lightning erupts from a cone, builds from the ground up, circle of stacking charged particles. Yeah. I'm pretty sure witchy is kimchi, right? P-dubs, you only need to stuff the crust when it's not buttery and like a pastry. You should always stuff the crust. I love stuffed crust. Stuffed crusts are delicious. Wait, P-dubs, you had a birthday earlier this month and I missed it? Well, I just need to say happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy belated birthday, dear P-dubs. Happy birthday to you and many more. There we go. So, yeah, Kelly Anderson, I did hear that as well today, that Rudy Giuliani's daughter endorsed Kamala Harris. That's awesome. So, that is great. Trucker John's birthday is Thursday, so maybe I'll sing a happy early birthday on Wednesday. Because just as a reminder, before we start recording the next part of the video, just as a reminder, crooner, yeah, so sometimes I could do an imitation of a Frankie Sinatra, it's cuckoo. Anyway, so, yeah, just as a reminder, thank you, Mike, appreciate you. If you go to nerdydan.com on YouTube, you can see several examples of karaoke, including me singing Something by the Beatles, the actual song Something, not just any random thing by the Beatles, which a karaoke jock once did to me. I put Something by the Beatles and submitted it as Something, and they made me sing Hard Day's Night, and I gave them an evil side eye because I was like, I've never done this song before. I don't know if it's in my range. But, you know, I actually did it fine. It was fine, but I wanted to sing Something because Something is absolutely in my wheelhouse. Whisper Mason, you're in Louisiana. You'll have to back away from pizza-related discussions. Hey, look, there is a place called Nola Pizza, not a sponsor of the show. I'd love it if they were. There is a place called Nola Pizza that went so far as to get the water from New York and to have it chemically analyzed so that they could reproduce New York tap water in their dough-making process to make their pizza dough taste like the dough that comes from New York City. And let me tell you, that pizza is effing delicious. But I've also been raised in the Northeast, and I had relatives that lived in New York City, so I've had New York City pizza too. Thank you very much. And I'm a fat man. I can talk about any food I want. Damn it. Liberal and Radio presents Fat Man Rants. I'm fat. I can talk about any food I want to. Darn it. That's if I have to be fat, at least I have the privilege to be able to discuss foods. So see Orville B on Twitch. I always like to see properly funded efforts rather than scattershot overspending, which is uniquely unnecessary. That's true. And that's what they do with the military funding, with the planes and the tanks that nobody needs. So, Robin, that's why New York bagels are special. And actually, there is one bagel place here in New Orleans. A friend of mine owns the place, and their bagels are freaking delicious. So, I haven't been there for a while. You're from Chicago? Oh, so you like casserole pizza. I understand. That's fighting words. So, sorry, just had to say it. I do like the Chicago-style pizza as well. That's also a good thing. Never had a bagel. It's probably because you're in Missouri, and as such, the bagels are probably not good there. There you go. Fancy, if I lived in Louisiana, I would be so fat. Well, there you go. We will still have the European weather agencies giving us data. I'm sure they'll find a way to screw that too. I'm sure they'll be like, we don't listen to the New York, to the European new agencies. And of course, with Donald Trump, all you have to do is have the Sharpie, right? You can change the path of the weather or the hurricanes with the Sharpie. If you're Herr Donald, it's at 10:16 at night. Please don't talk about bagels. I actually had a bagel last night at 11 because I ate a late lunch, so I ate a late dinner. So yeah, there you go. I'm going to ask if Uranus will start making bagels. Well, I mean, they have the holes, right? There's got to be a good joke there for bagels and Uranus and holes and yada, et cetera, et cetera. So, anyway. Doop-a-doop-a-doop. Let us go. Now, previously, when I did this type of video, I was talking about how I couldn't find Trump's Agenda 47 page where I had to just go by the RNC thing. Nope. I found the Agenda 47 page and I favorited it to make sure that I know I can get there whenever I want to, et cetera. So there you go. Let's go ahead and start recording this one as well, and we'll deal with it accordingly. Welcome back to another example, another video comparing Project 2025 and Agenda 47, where we show that they are both the same thing. As much as Donald Trump wants to deny that Project 2025 is not something he's involved with or not something he's connected to, and he wants to have everybody look at Agenda 47 instead, it's the same thing. It walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck. Quack, quack, MFers. It's a duck. So here we go. Let's take a look, shall we? We have the Trump-Vance Agenda 47 page. They talk about the Trump Reciprocal Trade Act is an additional tool along with universal baseline tariffs to shrink the trade deficit and bring back American jobs as well. And while President Trump announced a plan to replace the Biden system of punishing domestic producers and rewarding outsiders with a new system that rewards domestic production while taxing foreign companies. Rather than, of course, the tax on foreign companies gets passed on to the people, but, you know, Donald Trump doesn't understand that because he's an idiot. Rather than raising taxes on American producers, that President Trump will impose tariffs on foreign producers through a system of universal baseline tariffs on most imported goods, which will be passed on to the consumers in most cases. Higher tariffs will increase incrementally if other countries manipulate their currency or otherwise engage in unfair trading practices, which will cause those companies from those countries to, you know, increase the prices of goods that are sold in this country, i.e. negatively impacting the consumers in this country. As tariffs on foreign countries go up, taxes on American workers, families, and businesses can come down. They could. Will they? No. I would never believe that Donald Trump would actually have the other taxes come down. Not one bit. Now, if you could prove to me with an argument and show me the numbers that say, hey, even though we're going to put this high tariff on the thing and if you admitted that those tariffs would get passed on to consumers, if you then were able to show an offset in the reduction of taxes paid, then I might believe you. But in reality, it's not, you know, the people who are lower income who might not have that much, you know, taxes paid at all are not going to see a significant tax decrease if you reduce like income taxes or whatever or other taxes, but they're still going to have to pay even more money on these tariffed goods, which is going to make it a regressive tax on American consumers, even though he's continuously claiming that this is a tax on foreign countries and foreign entities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Higher tariffs create millions of new jobs. Increase real household income. Boost GDP. Increase domestic manufacturing output and generate hundreds of billions of dollars in new government revenue. I'm Donald Trump, and I'm playing the part of Lucy holding the football. Go ahead, Charlie Brown. Kick it. President Trump's universal baseline tariffs will restore a level playing field for American business worldwide. Will it? I don't believe you. President Trump will revoke China's most favored nation trade status as long as this long past time China stops getting preferential treatment as they undermine American national security interests, yada, yada, yada. Under President Trump's leadership, I'm using that term loosely. I'm sure they said it with a straight face or typed it with a straight face. The U.S. will once again become a manufacturing powerhouse and attain economic independence from China. From China. Yeah. And let's just kind of scroll back up. Trump Reciprocal Trade Act will restore fairness to trade, boosting American industry. The Trump Reciprocal Trade Act has a wealth of precedent in American history. Just because there have been tariffs doesn't mean yours are going to be any good. Historically, America imposed tariffs on 95% of all imports with an average tariff of 37%, which is less than what you're presenting. Between 1816 and 1947, you know, one might think that, you know, the economies of 1816 and even the economy of 1947 might be a little different than the economy today, and as such, might operate under different rules, and tariffs might affect things differently than it did back then. U.S. tariffs are amongst the lowest in the world, making America the most import-pressured country in the world. The current tariff, China average tariff, is 341% higher than the U.S., and the European Union tariff is 50% higher than the U.S. World average tariff rate is almost twice the U.S. Okay, whatever. I'll take those at face value. For example, food items like cereals and other preparatory goods are tariffed at 39.2% by India, 19% by China, and only 3.1% in the U.S. Well, here's the thing, though. When Trump did his tariffs with things on, like, you know, foodstuffs, he tried to kill the American farmer. The American farming industry was under attack by Donald Trump's tariffs, and only by giving them more money to offset the losses was he able to completely stop the shutdown, stop the bleeding, if you will. So let's flip on over to Project 2025. In wake of COVID-19 pandemic, almost certainly spawned a hold on, is this also on? Yeah, okay. America's trade deficit in goods and services, major trading partners. Of course, they say communist China, European Union, etc. So, of course, they have to say communist China all the time. Laying the trade deficit predicate, the great football coach Bill Parcells once said, you are what your record says you are. America's record on trade, blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. Of course, they use a football analogy. My football analogy of Lucy and the football is much more apt, I think, when it comes to this stuff. Hey, Impeccable Living, good to see you. As for U.S. trade deficit in goods, blah, blah, blah. Ken mentioning communist China. These trade deficit statistics implicitly measure the large amounts of American manufacturing and defense industrial base and supply chains have been offshored to foreign lands. Such offshoring not only suppresses real wages of American blue-collar workers, I mean, does it? You know. Ignite, but prove it to me. In the wake of COVID-19 pandemic, almost certainly spawned in a CCP biological weapons lab in Wuhan, China, of course, having nothing to do with tariffs. So, of course, here's the one comparison between the two. Trump's obsessed with China. The Project 2025 guys are obsessed with China, so they're making a point on China. Here's they cite Donald Trump in the 2019 State of the Union address. Tonight, I'm also asking to pass the United States Reciprocal Trade Act so that if another country places an unfair tariff on American product, we can charge them at the exact same tariff as that same product they sell to us. What was it that Donald Trump was talking about? The Trump Reciprocal Trade Act. So Donald Trump wants to pass the Trump Reciprocal Trade Act. Project 2025 wants us to pass the Trump Reciprocal Trade Act. This is all the example that you need that these two things are, again, one and the same on these on this particular policy. And as we should make more of these videos, we're going to show you that these policies are the same between both sets of plans because they're the same plan. World Trade Organization with 164 members governs international trade rules. Under most favored nation rule, each WTO member must apply the lowest tariff that applies to the products of any one country to the products of every other WTO country, blah, blah, blah. As a poster child for the kind of non-reciprocal tariffs the American manufacturers often face, MFN tariff for automobiles applied by the U.S. is only 2.5. In contrast, EU charges 10, Communist China 15, and Brazil 35. Non-reciprocal tariff rates under most favored nation rule. From the perspective of strategic game theory, the WTO's MFN rule provides no incentive for higher tariff countries to lower their tariffs, blah, blah, blah. Trade deficit impacts on the U.S. Reciprocal Trade Act. Under current United States laws, an American president has limited ability to fight back against the higher MFN tariffs now being levied against American workers, farmers, ranchers, etc. To address this non-reciprocity stalemate, President Trump urged Congress in 2019 to pass the United States Reciprocal Trade Act. Under U.S. RTA, the president would have the ability to bring any American trading partner that is currently applying higher non-reciprocal tariffs to the negotiating table, and if that failed, you could mirror the tariffs. It was presented by Sean Duffy the following month. Of course, they're saying that there was a poll that showed 80% of the respondents supported it, but depends on how you worded it, if it was a push poll or not, right? Following the introduction of the USRTA, the White House Office of Trade and Manufacturing Policy ran simulations to estimate the impact it might have on your overall trade. The sample consisted of trading partners, blah, blah, blah. But basically, again, the whole deal here is that Donald Trump wants to pass the Trump Reciprocal Trade Act and use it as a tool to baseline tariffs to shrink the trade deficit, and they want to do the same exact thing. So if the Project 2025 is talking about doing something, and if Donald Trump's Agenda 47 is talking about doing the same exact thing, then why shouldn't we believe that these two entities are in, you know, agreement? They're in cahoots, whatever you want to call it. These two ideas agree completely with each other on this issue. They agreed completely with the other issue that we shared before, and I'm sure as we make more videos, as the election is coming up and approaching, as we make more of these videos, we're going to see all the different ways that Project 2025 and Agenda 47 are the same plan. So don't let conservatives tell you that these plans are different, that Trump has nothing to do with these Project 2025 plans, because, again, they're the same thing. So if you know you see somebody talking about tariffs or talking about any other video that I create in this playlist, then you go ahead and share it with your friends and be like, look, Liberal Dan's already talked about this, and he's telling you completely that these two plans are exactly the same, and here are the playlists that show why. Here are the videos in the playlist that show why. Or if you find the particular specific topic that you want to talk about, again, share that specific video with them. So what do you think? Do you agree with me that Project 2025 and Agenda 47 are the same thing when it comes to tariffs and trade? Or do you magically now think that it's even differently, even though I've presented what I've presented? Leave your comments below. Make sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and, of course, have a good day. There you go. Fancy gifted a membership. Thank you, Fancy, for gifting membership. And Michael got the membership. Congratulations, Michael, Mr. Hunt. Love the name, of course. Impeccable Living. I had a comment that I wanted to make. I was waiting for you to get here because it would have been funny, but now I forgot the comment I was going to make. Gosh, darn it. I hate when that happens, right? It was something dirty, though, but you would have liked it probably. Wait, what? What did Impeccable Living say? Hold on. Oh, I saw her live. Who did you see? Wait, hold on. Blah, 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 blah. Trying to track this thing. Yep, Easy E-Network. Project 25 is the book of Agenda 47. Agenda 47 is the Cliff's Notes. Yep, pretty much. Yeah, Mike H. got another membership from Fancy. Oh, did it happen in your channel as well? That's hilarious. Yes, I was thinking about you, Impeccable Living. I had a joke, and it was funny, but I was like, no, let's wait for him to come in. And, of course, I have now forgotten. Oh, Adlohim, no point in commenting. But yet you commented. Why is that? Why did you comment if there was no point in doing so? Right? Doesn't make any sense. Right? What was the other thing I want to talk about? Or did I cover everything? No, I think I covered everything. I think I covered most of those three main topics that I wanted to talk about. If you can go back to the main episode image. There you go. Did anyone lose Verizon service today? I don't know. I thought I had Verizon with my work phone, but I didn't really notice it. But I mostly used the computer. I had a terrible day at work, by the way. It was just bad. Just certain things just frustrate me, and I don't want to go into it live on the air, but I was not having a very happy day today with work. It happens. It is what it is. Sorry, Donald, I stole your line. That happens too, from time to time, but when I don't have your thing right up there, I will often not do it for you. But then again, here it is.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. Whisper Mason, this statement is false. Oh no, going to cause people's brains to explode. Let's see, what else? Jeff, well, my son was younger. He wanted to be a comic. He kept asking me for stuff I'd written down. She said she getting him ready to do a set won't be a problem. Wait, is Mish here, or are you just trying to tag Mish? I haven't seen anything from Mish, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just missed it. That sucks. Need to order my meds and couldn't use my phone all day. That sucks. That's why I need a backup. Need to use a Google Voice account to be able to use your Google to use the internet. So, oh, Mish is missing? Okay. Where's Mish? We got to find Mish. Agenda 47 is more like bullet points, which is all that Trump's brain can handle. Pretty much, Trucker John. Right Plight is another political YouTuber. He went live last Friday. I'm a mod because I flatter him. Is that why you flatter me sometimes, Impeccable Living, because you want to be a mod too? I mean, and wait, are you flattering other hosts other than me? Am I going to be jealous now? I'm not jealous. You can flatter as many people as you want. I'll continue to be fatter and flattered at the same time. The RTA was literally passed under FDR to combat the Great Depression. Yep. The ILA strike is really going to make work great for me tomorrow. Are you kidding, or are you? Thank you, P Dubs. Appreciate you. Let's talk about the strike for a second. I did want to talk. That's the one thing I did want to talk about, but I'm not gonna make a new screen for that on the fly. But we're gonna do it. There we go. All right. So we do have the longshoremen strike. That is being threatened. That may very, very well start tomorrow. And part of the problem that I guess the longshoremen have is the fact that you have automation and they want to prevent automation from taking away their jobs. So they're making a whole bunch of, like, you know, demands on what they want as it pertains to their jobs and how they will prevent or stop the strike that is coming. Here's the thing, and a lot of people are being critical, thinking that these longshoremen are not being reasonable with what their asks are. But my point on that is this. They're doing it right. When you start a negotiation, especially when it comes to issues like, you know, labor and wages and et cetera and protecting your job, you don't start the conversation with, I want this, and have this be where you want to end up at, right? You start off by, you know, overshooting that where you want. You ask for more than what you want. Now, you can't ask for so much more that nobody takes you seriously, but you still have to ask for more than what you ultimately want. So then when you start negotiating backwards and start giving away some of those things that you're initially asking for, at the end of the day, you get to the point where you're happy with what you got, because that was where you wanted to end up at to begin with. Or at least if you start further out and if you have to negotiate back, maybe you don't get everything you ultimately wanted, but you still get more than what you would have gotten had you started off your negotiation exactly where you wanted to end up, because that's a guarantee to make yourself lose the negotiation at the negotiation table. So when people are going to criticize the longshoremen for having too big of an ask, that's just how you negotiate. Simple as that. Period. Excuse me. Woo! I didn't mean to burp, but it came out anyway. There you go. So do we have more Rose coming in again? Am I going to have more Rose? Let me call her. I'll see you in a second. Is this my brother, another friend from across the pond? Let's see. To clarify, the ILA is not against automation. What they wanted was a say and rollout of automation so they could sunset jobs instead of laying off. But again, the point, regardless of what they want, where they want to end up with, you always ask for more than what you want so you have wiggle room in the negotiation thing. And that's the point. So don't criticize the longshoremen for being smart negotiators. Understand that that's how you're a smart negotiator, and do it yourself. Don't hate the player, hate the game, right? The ILA wanted to retire people out of clerk positions, but the Port of Mobile started automating without discussion, and its threatened jobs can't be sunsetted right now. Good. And that's, they're protecting their employees, and that's what they're supposed to do. You ask for all the things your members ask for, or you anticipate them needing. That way your members know you are thinking of them. Exactly. But you also overshoot it because you want to make sure that you have wiggle room at the negotiation table. And that's my ultimate point. Hey, Murph from Toronto, eh? Welcome. That's the Bob Marley mechanism. What? So Dean Baker, I mean, Mish is just busy, and that is a relief. No, I agree. It's a good thing that for people to be busy. And I mean, I have not done some of the things that I enjoy doing because I have also been busy with life and everything. But again, I'm not going to give up on this, but I have reduced other activities because of all the stuff I've been dealing with. So it's totally understandable. The wiggle room, that's a joke about ex-wife in the works. Hey, Jolie, member for 9 months. Awesome. Good. Thank you. Thank you for your support as well. One half of the mod squad. Appreciate you. All right. Let's go to my friend. I believe this is my friend. How are you today?
Yes. Liberal Dan, how are you, sir? This is Brother Michael from Singapore. Go ahead, sir.
How are you doing, Brother Michael? Good to hear from you. What's going on?
Yeah, good. Always you have a top shows as well, too. I'm sure you remember, I predict that Beirut will be Beirut. And, you know, Hassan Nasrallah and all his gangs, all one by one, pretty much at sometimes 10, 15, 20 at one time has been killed by Israeli F-35. I'm sure you remember that.
I do remember you saying that, and so you were right. I mean, I agreed with you that, you know, Israel is clearly going to go after Hezbollah. Israel is clearly going to go after leaders of terrorist organizations, of groups that are attacking Israel. So, yeah, that you're right, and you were right, and it was correct.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yes.
Kudos to you.
And Iranian inside Iran, 90% of them, when they heard Hassan Nasrullah died, people in Iran celebrated. And they bought sweets and give it to the neighbors, to each other, and say, Hassan Nasrullah gone. That means the next target is Khamenei, the head of the snake. The next time his head of the snake in Iran is going to be and then you know what happened, Hassan Nasrullah, who gave the position. Who reported to the Israelis? One of the Revolutionary Guards from Iran that was working and saw everything and dialed it up. And so Israel has spies everywhere in the world, especially in those, especially inside Iran, Iraq, I mean, all those places. And we saw that Yemen yesterday was bombed pretty much again to the hell again, because they keep sending missiles, supersonic missiles to Israel, and Israel is not going to put up. And for now, Israel will be invading Lebanon for the fifth time soon, maybe within less than a week range. And Israel right now is keep bombing them from the hell, you know, with F-35. And Khamenei, the terrorist number one, the head of the snake inside Iran, he changes every night his position, I mean, where he stays, two times. So you can see that they know they have the spies everywhere, and Israel already know where exactly he is at any moment, at every time. So we hope that sooner, you know, this October surprise comes, and attack on IRGC positions comes, and really the rest, Iranian people will take over it, because Iranian people already give a lot of martyrs for the revolution, for the freedom and justice. So they want him to go, and son of the Shah wants to go back, and once again peace and security will come to Middle East. But as long as head of the snake is in Iran, peace and security, World War III, it's almost going to be more closer. What do you think, sir?
Iran is a major thorn in the side of the peace process over there in the Middle East, and it's reasonable. It's always been reasonable to think that, at least until Russia invaded Ukraine, that if there was going to be a World War III, that it's going to be spawned in the Middle East. So I think your representation of the facts are accurate, and it's definitely something to be concerned about. I hope you're not right on Israel dropping a nuke, because I think you also predicted that. So I hope that doesn't come to fruition. But if it does, I'll give you props on being correct, even though we don't want to see that happen. But I think if Iran could become a more democratic society with supporting ideas of peace and non-toxic religious extremism, then that would help definitely cool relations in the area. And if you stop Iran funding things like Hamas and Hezbollah, then they can't. Then you cut off those parts as well, which is, you know, you cut off the head of the snake.
Exactly.
The rest of the snake. dies. So hopefully, exactly. Hopefully that will happen, and you know, we can move on.
I hope so not. But they can first, you know, maybe 7 days after bombing of IRGC and its own, its treasury, and basically right now, more soldiers, more Marines arrived in Middle East. Everything, the chicken is cooking very, very much right now. Not only there, also in Ukraine and Russia. And it's also very very bad issues. And we know that Putin has warned again that he's not going to tolerate that, you know, you keep poking the bear. So,
right.
You know, if every angle mankind is being surrounded by calamities into calamities, but we hope mankind learns from the lessons in the past, and hopefully we can all overcome over it, this darkness, without going to go through major escalations.
Right, and that's what we got to have. And, you know, the unfortunate thing, though, is one of the things that Donald Trump is running on is the idea that, you know, he will end the war between, you know, like Ukraine and Russia. But, unfortunately, that's not the way you don't end the war by allowing Russia to keep what it has illegally obtained and by appeasing Russia. I mean, Neville Chamberlain had a policy of appeasement when it came to Germany and Hitler as well, and we all know how that turned out, right? So appeasement of tyrants and dictators is never a good thing, be they tyrants in Russia, be they tyrants in Iran, be they tyrants anywhere in the world, even tyrants in Washington, D.C., like Donald J. Trump. So,
A world is going to witness a lot of changes, and changes are coming. And, you know, but because, you know, the changes since the WEF recently was just 6, 7, 8 months ago, on January, I think, when in Davos, you know, they came to conclusion that by the year 2030, we want everybody rent. That means they don't want you to own even your shirt that you're wearing. They want us to be rent everything. So we can see that, this 2025 project is part of it as well too. And they want us to be never own anything anymore. Means your houses, if it's paid now, I mean, maybe lucky, but there will be some changes. As they don't want anybody own anything anymore in the world, not only United States. So that's very bad, I think.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, that's kind of like what we were talking about with Project 2025 earlier, is like they don't want like, you know, the government to be able to control these things. They want to lease all this stuff and pay private interests, because the more money that government can fund private interests, the happier they are. So by having private equity firms and industry and the housing market own the housing, so you have to rent instead of buy. It artificially inflates the price because you're artificially restricting the home ownership to only the people that can afford to have it, which makes more renters less owners, which is a bad thing. You want more people to be able to own their own property. So yeah, that is a big problem. And I know we talked about, you had mentioned like all the different renting services that we now have, like, you know, people can rent other people's clothes because they don't want to buy clothes, or people can, you know, and they sell it to the consumers as, oh, this is such a great thing. It's convenient. You don't have to own as much. You don't have to
right.
have as much space, because you don't have to own all these clothes. You can get some clothes, then you can return those clothes and return it for new clothes, which means that you'll be happier with a smaller place that you have to rent. But the cost of that place is going to be higher than it would have been normally. Why? because all of the major ownership groups own and control the vast majority of the property, and as such, they get to artificially inflate the prices as they see fit. And once you have less alternatives, that allows for the price elasticity of demand to not take place, which means the consumers have less power in changing, you know, saying, oh, well, I don't want this anymore because it's too expensive, because everything you need is now hyper expensive. So
absolutely,
that's how it works, and that's how they kill the consumer. That's how you kill the middle class.
Right. That's right. There's no middle class will be left. And basically, if you have lucky, if you have that, even you can rent your shares on the back. So I guess by the year 2030, if we see people are almost naked and going, I mean, they might have only a short only, so we will know why, because they cannot afford to rent their own shirt. So conditions going to be very bad, critical in every angle. We hope that for the election time that, you know, people don't lose their coolness, people don't get emotional, and we hope peace, whatever happens, you know, whoever
right.
comes out of the box, out of the box, hopefully everybody respects that until if you don't want it, then wait another 4 years and try again to see what you want. You know, that
right.
like every other elections in the time of George Bush or Obama, I believe, it was the same. It was people put bumper stickers usually. Now people don't even put a bumper sticker in their cars for either one of the candidates, because, you know, tensions is super high, and we want to reduce the tensions as minimum as possible, so people just move forward with whoever is in charge.
That's a shame, because that's what they want. That's what the MAGA folks really want, is they want you to be afraid to share your political opinion, because then they can pretend that they have the majority, when in reality it's minority rule. And I know, for example, when you said talk about the people won't have shirts, I'll make sure to hoard a couple of shirts for myself to make sure that I don't have to do the podcast shirtless. So, because nobody needs to see that, right?
Yes.
So, anyway, anything else, my friend, before I move on?
I pretty much I give you some of the open source intelligence only for your channel. And until next time, shalom, my friend.
Shalom. Thank you as well. Brother Mike, good to hear from you. We'll hear from you again soon. Thank you so much. P-Dubs had asked in the chat if I am live streaming the debate tomorrow. I am going to be doing the same thing that I did for the presidential debates, which is I'll be watching it on my own screen, and y'all will watch it on your own screen, but I will be giving live commentary as the debate goes on. So that way, I don't have to worry about getting copyright strikes. Those are sharp claws. I don't have to worry about getting copyright strikes on my channels and worrying about that. Meanwhile, you know, we'll still be able to do commentary. I probably won't be on Blog Talk Radio. Do not go over there, Rosie Posies. I probably won't be streaming on Blog Talk Radio tomorrow because there's no need to take phone calls at which point. So I'll just do the show just streaming on YouTube and Twitch. However, I will be there will be a show tomorrow. Then after the debate's over, if there's time, I might then flip over to Nerdy Dan and stream over on there. But, you know, it really depends on how long the debate takes and how long we had discussed things afterwards. So. If I don't get a day of gaming and I miss a day of gaming for an extra episode of Liberal Dan Radio, you know, it happens. And as Donald
it
said,
is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. As remember, Donald Trump said that after being asked about the death toll of COVID. And, you know, that is the little that Donald Trump cares about you and anybody else in this country and the people that he harmed needlessly, simply because, you know, we're not ending the show yet. Thank you. So Whisper Ray said, I do agree with you. I do have the same concerns as you do as it pertains to the strike. I do have the issue of how is the strike going to affect the costs, and are people going to be smart enough to understand that this is not something that is, you know, President Biden's fault, or are they going to blame Biden? And then Trump would probably come in talking his union buster talk and be like, if I was president, we would bust the union, so therefore they couldn't strike, yada, yada, yada. Boop, boop, boop. So, anyway. Jeff Curry, I have been in a strange mood for a couple of weeks, dark thoughts. How dark are we talking about there, Jeff? I've been having some weird, you know, just worries recently, but not necessarily dark thoughts, but just, like, thinking about things that you shouldn't necessarily be thinking about as it pertains to, like, you know, what if bad things happen? Probably just general anxiety. And, of course, that's one of the reasons why I had such a bad day today, because work was actually pushing that anxiety forward, and it was not in a good place for a good chunk of the day. I still got work done, but I still wasn't in a good place for the chunk of the day. I know the music started, but I wasn't ending quite yet, but I am ending soon. I just happened to adjust my ear bit, and the ear bit can control the music, and the music was open, so therefore that's why it hit. So that's why the music started early. Timing sucks for a longshoreman strike, but you have to do it if you want to take care of your family. So that's what happens. I'm doing Starfield Shattered Space at DLC. Hey, Moon Girl, what's going on? Wait, there's a Nerdy Dan? Yes, I am a Nerdy Dan. I'm usually nerdydan.com over on Twitch, and, you know, streams every Tuesday, but we're going to be doing the reaction to the debate first before we do any gaming. Usually when I do streaming, it's either Fortnite or Disney Dreamlight Valley or sometimes Rocket League, but there are other games that I play every once in a while. I'm always open to new games as well, so if you want to join me for that, let me know what's going on, and other things that we might want to play. That's cool too. So I'll have to look at Starfield Shattered Space and see what that is and see how that works. Nick Rich, puff up pass that calls me down every time. Yeah, I didn't want to take an edible and then be like super high for the show or whatever, depending on that. So it is what it is. Jeff Curry, I never harm myself with those sort of thoughts. Yeah, I mean, I had thoughts of, you know, what if I passed away or something like that? What would happen? Like, that sort of thing. Like, just irrational thoughts that just, you know, anxiety eats away from you. Impact of Living. Oh, Nerdy Dan, I thought you said Dirty Dan. That would be a whole completely different show altogether. Although we are talking about, again, I've teased the idea of Liberal Dan After Dark, where we discuss more adult-type content, adult-type subjects, not necessarily getting, like, you know, dirty, but still talking about things in a manner that might put the regular channel at risk, so putting that onto a side channel. But again, I don't necessarily want to get into that until, A, the election is over, and, B, I would love to see this grow more before that happens. So, you know, that happens. And I have a dog barking downstairs. I don't know if anybody's helping or dealing with said dog, so I may have to go soon anywhere. Dirty Dan is OnlyFans, says Moon Girl. Maybe that's another way to make money. Who knows? So, Benny, thank you so much for gifting 5 memberships. I appreciate you for that. That's awesome. Gifting memberships is a great way to support the show, but again, if you can't afford to gift memberships, to buy memberships for yourself, again, you can always do things like, you know, just comment on videos, share the videos, get the algorithms up, etc. That is one of the great ways that is free to help the show. Also, if you have Amazon Prime, you can also subscribe for free every month. You have to do it every month, either to the nerdydan.com channel on Twitch or to my Liberal Dan Radio on Twitch as well. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It's probably just about time for me to actually re-up mine as well while we're talking. So maybe I'll do that the next show. We'll see. Anyway, so let's just go ahead, and we'll go ahead and call this one. And today, this is the end of today's episode of Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right. Again, I'll be on tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central here on LiberalDanRadio.com and Twitch.tv/LiberalDanRadio so that we can do a live reaction to the debate. I'll probably start streaming a few minutes early just to make sure everything's up and running. And then afterwards, we'll do the nerdy stuff. And then Wednesday, of course, as usual, we have that as well. Come Wednesday night, join us 8 p.m. Central as well, Mondays and Wednesdays, for more Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right. We'll be right back.